to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 35. Isaiah chapter number 35, and before we read our text for this morning, I'd like to back up to two verses that end chapter 34, verse number 16, and extract a phrase. Not so much that it has a lot to do with our thought or the message for the morning, but as I was studying and reading verse number 16 of chapter 34, at least the first statement of it really stands out when compared to the seminar we've had and the focus on the Word of the Lord. Isaiah 34:16, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. What a blessed statement. That's exactly what we've done this morning. We have sought out the book of the Lord. That's what we hold in our hands today. We have sought it out. We have obtained a copy. We have studied. We have read. We have had the experience many times over of doing these things. And yet, it never gets old. And today, we do the very same thing. We take the book that is the Lord's, and we're going to read it. Start with me in Isaiah 35 and verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and bloom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass, with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men. The fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This passage of Scripture, by and large, is intended for yet a future time for its complete fulfillment. It is, by nature, prophetic and applies to the nation of Israel mostly, as they await that day and time when Jesus Christ will return, not in the air for His people now, as we are expecting Him to at any moment, but when He will return all the way to this earth, in Revelation. I believe that the context bears this out all the way back into chapter number 34. We are to, with this message, strengthen the feeble knees. We are to encourage or strengthen those that have weak hands. Understanding that the Lord is coming. Understanding that the Lord is going to return. And though this passage is directed in its fullest context and intent to the millennium and to the full revelation of Jesus Christ, we know that before that happens, as we've sang about even this morning, because He lives, Jesus Christ is coming for us. And we know that He will return. And with that message, we are to strengthen the weak hands. We are to confirm the feeble knees. We are to say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. your God will come. Think about that this morning. Your God will come. Even in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, what does it say? It says that God shall come, and He shall bring with Him His saints. And so it is here in Isaiah that we find encouragement that we need to confirm the weak hands and strengthen the feeble knees. We need to say to those that are fearful and those that are downtrodden, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come. He will come with vengeance. He will come with a recompense, not directed towards us. That's not the force of this. He's saying that He will come with vengeance and He will recompense those that have been against us. Those that have tried to steal away our joy and our blessings and those kinds of things. But getting from where we are to that point in time, whenever it is, when the Lord for us will return in this time, before the tribulation period, when He will rapture His saints away, getting from here to this place until we can receive that blessing, that's the challenge, isn't it? That's the difficulty. That's called life. And we experience it each and every day. Getting from where we are to where we need to be, to where we want to be, to where we shall be, the in-between is the difficulty. He says, strengthen them, comfort them, say unto them, fear not. Understand that your God shall come. What a blessing that is. And He spends the next few verses talking about what shall happen thereafter. Oh, after the rapture takes place, it tells us in verse number 5 that the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, the lame man shall leap as an hart, the tongue of the deaf shall sing. There will be great blessing experienced. And those maladies serve to show us that His power in changing this old vile body and corruptible into incorruption is present. And something to look forward to. And something to anticipate. Oh, that we should long for that day. Oh, that we should desire that day to come. But again, how do we get from here to there? Our God shall come. Be comforted. Be happy. Be thankful. Be looking forward to it. And oh, by the way, there's a highway to take us there. What a blessing. God is coming in the form of Jesus Christ. He is returning to rapture us away. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, never again to be separated by sin and depravity, never again to be separated by the things of this life. How do we get there? Notice verse number 8. How do we get from this place into that place? It says in verse number 8, and an highway shall be there. In a way, in it, that is the highway or the way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Praise God today that He has made a way. Not just a way, but a highway for us to get from here unto that time. For us to traverse from here until there. He has made a highway. The way of holiness, as we see it here. A way that we can walk and find peace and safety and comfort, and we'll look at all that in a minute. A way that we can find deliverance, and that we can find the ability to make it under the end, under that place that we are looking to get unto the coming of the Lord, and ultimately unto glory. This highway He has made for us is a great path. I read a story about a preacher who visited the Jordan River, trip to the Holy Land. And as the tour bus stopped, and they were to walk the remainder of the way unto the river's edge, the guide gave him this stern warning. He said, when we get off the bus and we head to the river, stay on the path. There's a path from here to there. Stay on the path. Someone in the group asked why. Why should we stay on the path? The answer returned from the guide. Because the military has been through and they've cleared a path. It's a path of safety. It's a path of deliverance. It's a path that will get you there in one piece. Because to the right and to the left of this path, there are still active mines from Israel's wars with Jordan. It said, stay on the path. With that stern warning, they left the bus. And the testimony of the preacher was this. No one dared come towards the edge of the path. Everyone walked right down the middle, almost single file. No one dared test the validity of what the tour guide had said. A path had been cleared by the military, a safe path. It was marked well. And maintaining this path wasn't even a difficulty because nobody wanted to go and venture away from it. And so you can feel in this preacher's testimony the emphasis that he puts upon the fact that no one dared even come close to the edge of the path. Nobody wanted to experience the danger that lie beyond. Nobody wanted to see what would happen if they ventured off into the weeds. This leads us to consider our spiritual lives and this way of holiness that God has made for us. It is a way to get us from where we are, in the preacher's example, from the tour bus down to the river's edge, for us to get us from this point in time unto the coming of the Lord. He has made a path. And the path that He has laid before us is one that we should avail ourselves of. Imagine the path that the group walked unto the river being named the way of safety. The path of safety with this inscription, follow it and you'll continue to live. Follow it and you won't go boom. And we know, of course, from His testimony, they all did. The way of holiness is provided for by God for something far greater than simply just staying alive. Far greater than just continuing to breathe and our hearts continuing to beat. It's provided for us that we might have abundant spiritual life, that we might have a close fellowship and walk with God, that we might in fact live above the muck and the mire of sin in this world. It is provided for all of this to get us from where we are to where we need to be. And you can imagine the inscription that is placed upon this. It's called the Way of Holiness. And we notice here in verse number 9, perhaps the inscription upon this road or this way, this highway of holiness would say, the end of verse 9, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion. Oh, what a path. What a way of holiness, but it's up to us that we walk thereon. Let us consider this way of holiness this morning. First, we know that the way is a present reality provided for us by Almighty God. We do not have to manufacture our own way or our own path. We do not have to worry about how we get from where we are to the coming of the Lord. We don't have to wonder what path we tread. Yes, there are going to be decisions to make in your life, but that isn't the metaphor we're using. There are going to be choices to make, yes, and there's going to be wisdom that has to be applied, yes. But all of that is done while we are on the way and traveling the highway of holiness unto the coming of the Lord. And of course, our glorification and unification with God in heaven. We don't have to wonder, or we don't have to manufacture our own path. We don't have to cut our own way. It is provided. Now imagine if the conversation on the tour bus was different. Imagine if the tour guide stood up on the bus and said, "Now before we leave, I have this admonishment to you, that before you, on the way to the river, lies a way, a path of safety. But I don't know what it is. You got to find it yourself. You got to cut your own path. You got to chart your own way. You've got to find your own journey of safety to the river's edge." If that had been the approach that the tour guide took, I would imagine that there would have been a few empty seats on the return trip to town. That's not what we're doing in this life. We're not trying to find our own way. God has provided it. He has provided a present reality. He has provided the way for us, the way of holiness to walk thereupon, that we might reach that desired place. It is the way. Secondly, we notice about this way of holiness that the way is well marked. The way is well marked. It's not just the way, but one that's well marked or defined. In Scripture, in verse number 8, it's called a highway. Now, as you think back in your mind to Bible times, especially back to the time of Isaiah, compared to today, you would think that highways are much different. And of course, with technology and cars and construction and all the advancements of the modern age we live in, certainly they are made differently. But the purpose is all the same. And highway, back in Isaiah's day, and even unto the New Testament, it was a way embanked, or a great road that set above all of its surroundings. It was built up. There are still, of course, stories in history records the great Roman roads, a lot of them made even out of salt. They were raised up above the rest of their surroundings. They were dedicated for a particular use. They were set aside and set apart for only certain things to transpire thereupon. They were roads that rose above the busyness of life and the congestion. There were roads that rose above the muck and the mire. I mean, even when it rained and even when it poured, even when it was muddy to the right and to the left, the highway was open and the highway could be used. So we can think of it just like we see our highways today. To get us from point A to point B as quickly and efficiently as possible. And to cause us to get there safely. The way of holiness is well laid out for us. It is well marked. What marks the way of holiness? Well, we read already in chapter 34 in verse number 16. We believe that it is this book we hold in our hands. Seek ye the book of the Lord and read. Why should we read? Because it marks the way of holiness that will take us from here unto there. It marks it out clearly and plainly. We can think of our Bible as the map. Or the road signs, if you will. Perhaps we don't pay attention to them as much as we used to, depend on them as much as we used to, but they are still the same. They still exist. They still help us get from point A to point B. To keep us on the right way. Make it so that we're not lost in direction. And that's what this book is for. It directs us to, and it keeps us upon, the way of holiness. It constrains us from going to the left or to the right. It keeps us in this path that is laid out for us. This way that is directed, that is well marked by the Word of God, also establishes for us what the will of God is for our life. It establishes what the will of God is. Now, I don't mean in one particular decision to be made. I simply mean in the will of God for our life, the direction of our life, the way and manner in which we conduct ourselves every single day. God has a will for that. And this book is the map, the road signs that constrains us, that leads us in this path. Flip over to Proverbs. This verse immediately no doubt comes to mind to many. Proverbs chapter 3 gets applied incorrectly, I think a lot of times. Proverbs chapter number 3 talks about our steps being directed. And that's what the way of holiness is all about. That our steps be directed towards the place where God desires for us to go. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Isn't that what we read in Isaiah? Comfort, strengthen, tell those that are fearful that it's going to be okay. God has got this. He's coming for you, and He's going to bring vengeance and recompense upon those that have been evil and wrong. I mean, that's the essence of Isaiah's message, is trust in the Lord. If we lean to our own understanding, we'll find fear, and we will find veering to the left or to the right. In verse 6, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Some people apply this verse, especially 6, and to say, the path you choose, God will direct you down it. No, that's not it at all. That's about the worst thing you can do to this verse. That's not what it says. When we look at this verse through the lens of Isaiah 35 and verse number 8, he's talking about the way, the path of holiness. He's saying, acknowledge God. Consider God. Look to the Word of God. And you will find direction to the path of holiness. And not veer to the left or to the right. These scriptures work as the road signs to direct us, to ensure that we're on the path, to caution us not to depart from it to the right or to the left. Why not? Why should we not depart unto the right or to the left? Why should we not go one way or the other? Well, just like those that were exiting that bus and heading down to the banks of the River Jordan, trying to see perhaps where the spot where Jesus was baptized or something else that happened on the historic banks of the Jordan River. To venture to the left or to venture to the right is to find destruction. To venture to the left or to venture to the right is to find defeat, is to find those landmines that will blow up in our face and hurt us. And so we are constrained. We are told, don't venture there. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Don't go in those directions, but remain on the path of holiness, the highway that God has built up above the muck and the mire of sin, has built up above the temptations of the flesh and of the world, has built up above those things that would so easily beset us and hold us back. Oh, when we're on the way of holiness, it seems as if there's no stopping us. Isn't that how you feel sometimes when you get on the highway? Not so much when you're going through Cincinnati or, for the most part, Dayton. But in between, it feels pretty good, doesn't it? Feels like nothing can stop you. You're heading down the road. You're doing pretty good. You're making good time. You're getting from A to B. And all of that in an efficient manner, especially if you're a man. We like that. But when we get off, when we take a detour, when we go to the left or to the right, what do we find? Nothing good. And oh, God has built this way. Let us not disrespect it. God has built this way. Let us not depart from it and into sin. Turn with me over to Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1, he receives this instruction, should be familiar to most of us this morning. To the left and right are dangers, are landmines, are destruction. The way of life is the way of holiness, is the highway. Joshua chapter number 1. Read here in verse number 6. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. What is the law? It is the map. It is the road signs, the constraint. Perhaps you can even think of it as the guardrails that keep us on the path which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Why? There's death. There's destruction. You're no longer on the way. You're no longer heading towards the goal. but your detour, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. We find prosperity on the way of holiness. Oh, not the prosperity of the world and of the flesh, not the prosperity of materialism, but we find the prosperity of spiritual growth and relationship with God. It is the way well marked. Let us walk therein. Let us be devoted to it. But it is also, thirdly, the way well trodden. The way well trodden. From this verse in Joshua, we see that Moses trod this path long before Joshua. Moses was on his way out. He was about to die. Moses was 120 years old. And he had been serving God in the capacity of the leadership of the children of Israel for 80 years. A lot of which, maybe half, Joshua had seen. A little more than half, probably by this time. Joshua had seen, he had experienced. But Moses had well trodden the way of holiness. Moses had for many years lived a great example before Joshua. The way of holiness is well trodden by the saints of God that have gone on before us. They have marked a way. They have walked the way of holiness, and they have shown to us that it is a way of peace, it is a way of safety, it is a way of blessing, it is a way. It is the way that God would have us to get from here to where we are. You know, when you're talking about going to some place you've never been, talking about the directions, the road, the highways, all of that, makes you feel better when you talk to someone that's been there before, doesn't it? They can tell you about some of the dangers on the road. They can tell you about the curves. They can tell you about the missing road signs. They can tell you about a lot of different things. And it gives you some more confidence as you go. When we consider this way as well trodden, it should give us that same encouragement. God's people have been walking this path for generations. They have reached their goal. They have reached where they desire to be. No, for them it wasn't the rapture, but it was still just as sweet. For them it wasn't living until the coming of the Lord, but it was just as wonderful. Because absent from the body is present with the Lord. It emboldens our faith to know that many others have trodden this path before us. That they have found blessing. As we envision the path this morning, the way of holiness before us, be a path that has no weeds. A path well trodden, so beat down that nothing could grow there. It would have no impediments. It would have no stones sticking up. It would have no divides in it. But it would be so well trodden that it would be an easier path to walk. And one of clear direction. That we would know it. That we would have it clearly defined for us by they're trotting it. And that leaves us to consider those that come behind us, our children. Those that come behind us that are being raised up in the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ today. The next generations, how well are we trotting the path before them that they can see it? That they can follow the path in which we trod. Go with us to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah warned Israel of this. Israel had wandered off the path. They had gotten away from the way of holiness. They had gotten away from this highway that was before them. They were about to be taken to captivity. Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Sounds like a lot of God's people today. The way clearly defined, clearly marked, clearly available to us. And yet, we find many that respond like Israel and say, no, we will not walk therein. No, we will not follow the way of holiness. It is too separated. It is too holy. It is too righteous. No, I don't want to walk up there on the highway. I want to be down in the muck and the mire. And I want to be down with the inhabitants of the world. I want to be partaking in their sin. I want to be partaking in their unrighteousness. I want to live it up. We have no business to the left or to the right. Our business lies straight before us. And oh, how that we need to be walking this path. Oh, how that we need to be asking for the old ways. Asking for the old ways that we might walk therein. Fourthly, we see, as we go back to Isaiah chapter 35, to our text, that this way, the way of holiness, this way, the highway that God has built for us, is one that is well located. It's one that is well located. There is an advantage to being close to the highway. There's also, at least in our terminology today, a disadvantage. It's noisy. But you can get just about anywhere you want to go with relative ease. I mean, we can, within just a few minutes, be headed on a major highway going north and south or east or west that'll carry us to any part of this country and travel relatively easy. It is well located. This highway that we're speaking of this morning. Notice here in verse number 8, where is this highway that I may find it? Where is it that I may locate it, that I may get on it, that I may walk therein, that I may be lifted up above the world, that I might be sanctified, that I might be holy, that I might have fellowship with God? Verse number 8, and an highway shall be there. Where? There, where the people are. Not off in another place, not for us to find, not a future thing that'll be delivered, but it is there, present, for them and before them. What does the there refer to in our text? Well, if you'll go back to the end of verse number 6, it begins to talk about how things will change. It says, for in the wilderness shall waters break out in streams in the desert, verse 7, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of dragons. So the there refers to those things. Where's the highway? The highway is in the wilderness. It's in the desert. It's in the parched ground. It's in the habitation of dragons. That's where the way is. The way is right here in our present lives. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is, we have a way. We have a way of holiness that will take us unto God. We need to seek it. We need to find it. We need to walk therein. If we have gotten off of that way, if we have left it, let us get back thereon. Let us gain entrance once again. This describes this present world to us so well, where the way of holiness is located. There's a great blessing in being able to right here in this present place find it. Walk thereon. That we might be obedient unto God. How many of us in this room this morning are really, truly concerned about being obedient to God today? Obedience not a thing of the past. It is old-fashioned, but not in the sense of being out of date. Oh, we need that old-fashioned way of obedience. Oh, how we need to be concerned with God, what God desires for our lives each and every day. How many of us are concerned with sin and its effect upon our life? It will rob us and take us to the left or to the right. It will strive like the one that the Good Samaritan rescued. He found him in a ditch. Why? He had been fallen upon by robbers and by thieves. That's what sin will do to us. It'll get us off the way and into the ditch and off to the right or off to the left. But this road is available to us. We need it. Every day of our lives, we need to strive to walk thereon. In this desert, in this wilderness, in this parched ground, in this habitation of dragons that we live in, praise God that there's a way that we can walk thereon above all of these things and find blessing. It is also a way well protected. Notice verse number 9. The way of holiness is a way of safety. Verse number 9, speaking of the way and its conditions, the way and what we find there, he says, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there. It is the way protected, or the way secured. The way of holiness is safe. It is well protected. Those that travel thereupon may face the ups and downs and the hardships of life, to be sure. But they will be protected from the lion that goes about seeking whom he may devour. We know that, of course, to be Satan. Oh, he's present in the world, but this way we're talking about, this way that we're walking thereupon, it says he'll not be there. Now, he still has access to come and to tempt us. He still has access to come and try us and try to get us to come off the road, but he doesn't dwell there. It's a place of safety. We're not going to find the ravenous beast in that place. Oh, this road that lies before us is well protected. To the left or to the right, there are landmines. Back in Isaiah's day, the worst they could have thought of were lions and ravenous beasts to either side of the road that at any moment could come out and slay, have their way, perhaps robbers and thieves. But in the story we began with this morning, the worst was death. There were landmines left and right that could have been set off and taken life. Oh, it is a way well protected. To the left and to the right, there is danger everywhere. There is danger everywhere. And when we get off the path, that's all we find is destruction. We find death. We find being backslidden and away from God. We find nothing good spiritually. And yet, time and time and time again, we're looking for the exit. Time and time again, we're trying to get off this way because it demands a higher sanctification of living. It demands sacrifice. It demands being a peculiar treasure in the things you do, the places you go, how you dress, how you present yourself to the world. All of those things, we're looking all the time to get off. People ought to be wanting to get on. It ought to be the most congested way that there is. But what does Matthew 7 say about the straight gate? It says, few there be that find it. Few. Few. We are looking all the time. Why do we so eagerly seek our own hurt? Why do we so eagerly leave this path and find destruction? Not one of us would want to go off and find a landmine. But we'd be just like the rest of those that we told you about. We'd be center of the road. We would, you know, be holding hands. We'd be making sure. I mean, there'd be no doubt. We'd be just like that. Why aren't we like that spiritually? Why do we test the boundaries? Why do we go off into the wildernesses? Why do we leave the way God has provided in search of other things? Partially because the wilderness of sin that surrounds the way looks appealing to the eye and to the flesh. It looks like something to be desired. As Eve looked upon the fruit of the garden, it looked to her as something to be desired, and she partook. That's what we see to the left and to the right. We see things catch our eye. We see things that cause us to desire and want to go that direction. But the end thereof are the ways of death. They are landmines described or disguised as pleasure, to be sure. Let us understand that it is a way well protected and use that as motivation to stay thereon and to walk upon this way of holiness. Notice with me here, number 6, that this way is also the way well appointed. The way well the way well appropriated. Appropriated simply means set aside for, earmarked for. This is a way well appropriated. In verse number nine, it says there, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord. This path of holiness, this way, this highway has been built for the saints of God to tread thereupon. Tells us in verse number 8, the unclean shall not pass over it. You know, there are some roads that highways you got to pay money to travel on, and some people just won't do it. When we pay enough taxes, why should we pay extra to drive on a road? It seems to be strange. They just won't do it. They'll take another path. They'll do something else. The unclean will not pass over this way. In other words, in order to step foot upon the highway of holiness, you must be ransomed. You must be redeemed. You must be a child of God. Or else you cannot walk thereon. Cannot step foot. Because it has been built only for the saints of God. What does that mean? It means we find fellowship on the way of holiness. I've been convinced of this for years. Fellowship cannot be manufactured. It cannot be forced. It cannot be scheduled. It cannot be made. Fellowship happens when God's people are moving the same direction, towards the same goal, with the same things in mind. That is fellowship. When they are on the way of holiness together, traveling the same road, doing the same thing. But when we have five off in this direction and five off in that direction and two barely hanging on and a few going forward, there's no fellowship. The way of holiness produces fellowship among God's people. And we must be on it in order to have it. When we're on it, we're an encouragement to others to get on and to walk therein. We are God's people. Holiness and the life of holiness can be found on this way. And sadly, some of God's people even just simply don't want it. How awesome it is, though, that God has made a way, especially for us, to walk upon it. He has raised it up above the world. The unclean cannot walk thereupon. Does that mean that they can never enter? No! That's not what it means. It means that they must be saved. It means that they must be drawn into a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit by faith believing and trusting, by faith coming to that saving knowledge of Christ. Then no longer are they unclean and can walk and find entrance. The way of holiness. Be saved today and walk in this way. And then lastly, in verse number 10, we see that this is a way well concluded. A way well concluded. Where does this path lead? Where does this way of holiness take us? Verse number 10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion. This is the payoff, if you will. This is the direction that we are going, walking on the way of holiness. We're headed towards Zion. We're headed towards, of course, either death or the coming of the Lord, being in a right relationship with Him. In either way that our life here comes to an end, oh, how we ought to want to be in a right relationship with God when that time comes. Those of us that are children, I don't want to be wandering out in the minefield. I don't want to be out in the wilderness of sin. I don't want to be over searching after my own things. I want to be on the way of holiness when the Lord returns or when I die. Because that is the way that leads to Zion. Now, here in this passage, it was going to be literal Zion for them. I mean, they would be returned unto their possession, fully restored unto the promised land and the earthly Zion. But there is also a spiritual and a heavenly Zion. This is the way. You want to be saved today and have eternal life? You've got to get on this way. You've got to believe and trust in Christ. That is the only thing that leads to eternal life. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me on the way of holiness. And he is that way. It leads you to Zion. There is no mistaking about that. The path of holiness is a great blessing. It is a way well concluded. Notice that the ransom shall come to Zion, and then notice with songs, an everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Isn't that the life you want? Isn't that what you lament when it's missing? Isn't that what you're after all the time? You can find it on the path of holiness, on the way that God has set apart and built up, on this highway that He has placed right here in this life that we can find. You'll find joy. You'll find happiness. You'll find blessing. You'll find gladness, and sorrow and sighing, they'll flee away. We are never more happy than when we are on the way of holiness, marching towards God and serving Him along the way, marching towards eternity and having heaven and glorifying God along the way, looking for and hastening to the coming of the Lord. And while we're on that way, serving and glorifying and worshiping and praising Him, there's no replacement for that in the life of a child of God. You find yourself downtrodden with the things of the world today. Ask yourself, what path am I on? Oh, how thankful that I am that God did not say, chart your own path, choose your own way. Oh, I'm so thankful that God did not set before us and say, here is wilderness, find the path through it that would glorify me. No, He laid it out, He's paved it, He's built it up. He said, here it is. It's well maintained, well trodden, well protected. It is a place of greatest blessing for God's people. Get on it, stay on it, and serve the Lord in it. Don't err from it to the left or to the right. Glorify God in it. Oh, how we pray you'll find this way today. Walk there, and let's stand. As for the mighty musicians to come.